Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hello, stinkers. This episode is an absolute hoot, if I don't say so myself. It was recorded as a live show in front of an audience back at the start of February as part of the always excellent Nesta Comedy Festival. And I'm joined by a frankly disgustingly talented panel of guests, all with varying degrees of connection to Leicester, because why not? First up, the glorious Grace Petrie from and in Leicester, singing Your Hearts to Life for work. Also, black country comedian Darren Harriott, close enough to Leicester, isn't it? He's tearing the roof off the chat at every spare second. And finally, the loveliest, most interesting king of the poppets and of the bakers, it's Bake Off's Mark Elliott from Leicestershire, also once upon a time, although now hailing from Cornwall. Thanks so much for listening to Hoovering. A major favour you could do me, please, would be to tell other people about the podcast. You can do it literally with a tweet or like an Instagram story. Follow the podcast on social media at The Hoovering Pod on Twitter and Instagram. One way of telling other people about the podcast is simply to leave it a 5-star review and or subscribe to it. It sort of puts it up the listings that way so that more people find out about it when they're just having a general look for podcasts. If you'd like to support the podcast with actual money, you're allowed if you want. You can do like a one-off payment by using Acast Supporter, or you can help out in a regular way by becoming a patron. Go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod and you'll see all sorts of podcast related things that I'll swap in exchange for your hard-earned wedge from as little as £2 a month. Exclusive content, guest recipes, discount tickets to live shows, all that kind of thing. If you're based in or around London and you want to try Oddbox, the company that I get all my fruit and veg from, they basically salvage stuff that was either going to go to waste or had been rejected by a supermarket because it was vaguely imperfectly shaped or scuffed, or was surplus, for example, because restaurants at the moment are closed, so they're doing stuff like really swanky things in there at the moment, like micro herbs I had the other week. Very delicious. Anyway, you can get a tenner off your first box if you want, using a link that's in the podcast's Twitter bio at the Hoovering Pod, and or in the podcast notes. Everything I've just spoken about, links in the podcast notes, there always are. Okie dokie, let's get into it. Two things to note. First, there is some chat about weight and restrictive eating in this episode, and of course I take a cheerful swipe at it, and it's not celebratory in any way, but it is in there. And then in case you need to avoid that entirely just now, then be warned. However, you know, everything's dealt with very playfully. It's probably like the most minimal of that kind of chat that I would ever bother giving a warning about. Secondly, just a practical note. Thanks so much if you're in the live audience for this record. Next Up Comedy recorded this show for the Leicester Festival because obviously it all had to go online because of coronavirus. And it's their policy to have podcast audiences on mute. So you, and just like we, couldn't hear the audience. You can't hear the audience laughing. They were laughing. I could see them in this episode. But know that they were there and that they were lovely and loving it. And they were letting us know as much in the chat. So every now and again, you'll hear me refer to something they've said. And that's because we were interacting with the audience in the Zoom, as it were. Right, okay, I think that's everything you could ever possibly need to know in advance of this one. We had an absolute blast, and I hope that you do too whilst listening to it. Please, even though it will appear as silence, I'll see if you're doing it. Could you clap and cheer like wild and welcome to the Zoom, amazing Birmingham comedian Darren Harriott, Leicester original Bake Off's Mark Elliott, and local Leicester singing warrior Grace Petrie. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Hiya.
Hi.
Where's drinking.
You're drinking alcohol already, yes!
That's how it started. A nice spritz there, guys. Come on. It's Friday every day. That's what we're in now. You can make any day
that
Friday.
Was allowed.
Oh, it's totally allowed. Grace, do you need to go and get a beer? It's totally allowed.
I've got a big thing of tea for the moment. But
yeah, when I finished...
Mine looks like tea, but it's full of whiskey, really.
Oh, thanks for coming, lads. I have to say, Mark, earlier when we did a little tech, you were just on your phone, but now that you're all set up properly, it does look like we're watching a cookery TV show looking into your home.
Yeah,
very beautifully set up. And is that bunting?
No, they're my prayer flags. Our kitchen's covered in prayer flags and incense and all stuff.
Oh, like that. I love it! Oh.
I thought they were postage notes.
Yes, so did I.
That's how zen our lives are, Mark.
postage notes everywhere.
Yin and yang we've got there, haven't we, of calmness and happiness. So already the lovely people in the audience of this, my panel, have noticed that lots of us aren't from Leicester, but the panel sort of is. Mainly Grace representing. You're the only one physically there now, right?
I'm physically there, yeah. I've been physically here for so long.
Oh, God.
I've not been allowed out.
Oh, love.
Yeah, but representing Leicester, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that where you're from, Grace?
I'm born and raised, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yes, yeah.
And it's Birmingham for you, isn't it, Darren? That's not that far away.
It's actually black country.
Oh, okay.
People get really on my ass about that because obviously not everyone's heard of the black country, which I thought everybody had done. And because obviously I'm black as well, it just gets awkward. So I used to say Birmingham.
Right.
To save any awkward discussions. But black country boy, me and Lenny Henry.
Excellent. I feel like I went to the Black Country Museum when I was in year five. Would that have happened if I'm from Dorset?
Yes.
Lovely. And Mark, you were born in Leicester. Did you grow up there?
I do go up quite often. My sister still lives in Leicester. She lives just outside Groby near Markfield.
Groby.
Yeah, no, I do go up there fairly often. But yeah, no, I spent my first 19 years in Leicester. That's where I was born.
Oh, wow.
Amazing. Lovely watching the audience for the Leicester Comedy Festival. In this instance, none of whom are from Leicester or going, never heard of those places. but good, thankfully, for anybody from Leicester who listens. Someone is. Jessica Harris is from Leicester. Good.
Mark, you're in Cornwall now, are you?
Yeah, I live in Cornwall now. But
I thought that because I'm going to get this out of the way. Sorry to say this off the bat, Jess, because it's really weird. But the whole time we were watching the Bake Off, I'm from Leicester and my girlfriend is from Cornwall. Okay. And so we decided in the first episode when they said that you were from Leicester but lived in Cornwall, we made up this joke that you were our son. honestly. So when I found out you were doing this, I was like, Molly, I'm going to do a podcast with our son.
There's brilliant.
No way to say that, though. It doesn't sound absolutely bonkers, but there we go. Yeah, we were rooting for you all the way. We're like, oh,
that's really cool. Thank you. Again. Thank you very much.
A curious case of Mark Elliott.
Yeah.
That's so lovely. I love it. As I knew that because this is online, it's not going to be as Leicester-y as if it was in Leicester. I have asked the panel to make some Leicester-themed food, by which I mean I've just said, can you make some food that's yellow and blue? So because some of you might have made some...
That was why.
Right.
I was sitting there going, why is she asking us to get yellow and blue food? Is it just a different colour every time? Leicester. Oh, you could have put that in the email.
I did, babe. I did. I love you, Darren. And even then, after the email, you were like, what am I eating again today? I was like, something yellow and blue, please.
You did everything right.
Grace and Darren, I've already spoken to you. I have had a bit of a palaver on this front. I wish I'd had time to get the audience to make something yellow and blue as well. I had grand aspirations of making this, this like blue cheese and nettle, like, and spinach like thing that you have on toasted sourdough, and it sounded so good. And then as today got closer, the more I realised I couldn't be arsed, and it just felt like it was going to be too insanely rich to have at 2:30 in the afternoon. It's quite a specific time, so I changed tack and have gone for a medley of blue and yellow snacks. Now I'm gonna go first, just to set the bar so low that you all feel better about yours. The problem is, I am going to be forced to eat this now. I'm proud of the blue and yellowness. What we've got there is some Stilton on a yellow cracker. We've got a blueberry on some Biscoff, and some blue Smarties. Just rest. I put it on the Stilton. Ugh.
It's tainted now.
Fuck, as if it wasn't grim enough. Grim enough.
Horrible.
Yeah, it was already great. Just resting on a banana. But and I've got a thing about food waste. Like, I fucking hate food waste. To find the blue Smarties, I couldn't find a tube of Smarties. I've had to buy like a bag of Smarties themed Easter mini Easter eggs, like their take on mini eggs. A box that had 8 mini chocolate eggs full of mini Smarties in. I've had to smash open all 8 to find 4 blue ones. And in the whole bag of Smarties mini eggs, there was only 1 blue one. And so, I mean, I'm not saying it will go to waste, but I sort of nibbled as I was going along. I feel sick before I've even started, just from the amount of pre-show nibbling that's had to occur. And I bought some actual mini eggs, because on the tube it looks like there's blue ones of them. Fuck all blue ones. The closest to blue it gets is like a sort of like off-white. So I'm already slightly livid about my blue and yellow offerings, but I will sort of taste it all. Make me jealous then. What have you guys got that's blue and yellow?
I kept it quite simple.
Yeah.
I live alone. I'm single, so I've got single person food.
Yeah.
It's M&M's. I don't know how to put this up. It's M&M's. Oh, there's a camera. And nachos. Hold on. There we go.
Oh, delicious.
Look at that. Right. Blue M&M's, nachos. The problem was that I had to go and get the blue M&M's myself in the bag. And I've always heard about how celebrities, they have like blue M&M's only. It kind of loses its sort of mystique and prestige when you do it yourself.
Yeah.
So in my kitchen, there's lots of M&M's on the floor now. And
I like the idea that you've also just buying yourself a selection of medals, Darren. just trophies that you're hacking your own name into. Why not?
And then I made a limoncello spritz, which is a limoncello, soda water and Prosecco. But I'm slowly pacing myself because I don't know if you noticed, it's gone down quite a bit since we started.
Yeah.
And I don't want to finish this because I'll get sad.
Is that your equivalent of Mother's Ruin, that cocktail, Darren? I love it. I didn't realise they were M&M's. Are they chocolate or peanut M&M's? Chocolate.
No, chocolate, yeah. They're the crispy ones.
Oh, I know what you mean now.
Sometimes you got to treat yourself.
Yeah, hell yeah. Okay, Mark, what are you gobbling, please?
Okay, well, I kind of failed a little bit because originally I was going to make some blueberry and lemon muffins. But my kids are morons and don't like them. And like you, Jess, I hate food waste. And I think there's no way I'm going to be able to eat 12 muffins before they go off. So I actually made these chocolate little tea cakes made with almond flour.
Mm.
Wow. Which are absolutely delicious. But so it didn't fail, I've actually made a little platter of I've got some local cheese.
Oh.
Cheese yellow from a blueberry.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely.
And I have got blueberries and I've got some of my sourdough bread to go with them and some pear.
Oh, so, some pear, did you say?
Yeah, a bit of pear as well. So
fucking yes, please. Talk to me about your local cheese, Cornish cheese.
Yeah, it's Cornish cheese. So this is called Cornish York. Which is it's a beautiful cheese. Actually, if you've never tried, it's quite creamy. And what they do, they wrap it in nettles, so you get this. It's just an amazing cheese. It's hard to describe until you taste it. It's just a really creamy, light cheese. And then this cheese here, it's made by a local company called David So Cheddar, and it's 5 years old. So it's matured for 5 years.
Wow.
And when you bite into it, it's so crunchy. It's unbelievable. It's like crunchy and tangy. It's just an explosion that goes off. It's amazing stuff.
All right, Mark. We can all brag about locally sourced, mate. I went to Sainsbury's to get mine.
Oh, Mark, you've knocked it out of the park there.
I know,
incredible. Any cheese that's so strong, it feels like it could actually burn your mouth a bit.
Oh, it's amazing. It destroys your stomach in 5 minutes, but it's amazing. It's
worth it.
It's sort of proof that the pleasure pain boundary thing is a thing, isn't it? Really strong cheese like that.
Definitely.
Amazing. Oh God, I'm very jealous. Grace, last but not least, I'm sure of it.
So I've just got some. How do I do this? I made some blueberry pancakes.
Oh, wow! Yes.
There
Look
we go.
Those. They look amazing.
Oh, great.
Well, very so nice. I made some. Oh my god! Okay, just spilled maple syrup on my Mac.
Oh no!
can I be ready?
Yeah, just one moment. Yeah. Take your time. Oh god.
Oh, that's scary.
That's it.
I forgot.
I'm surprised you didn't just start licking it. I would have just licked the Mac.
Licked the maple syrup off the Mac.
I would have licked the keys immediately. Yeah.
I because I do this podcast about eating, Darren. I quite often have pictures of food taken with my Mac in the background, and the amount of comments I get from people going, "Ugh, your Mac's so filthy." That's the only reason why I wouldn't lick food off my Mac is because it's not the cleanest vessel. It feels like a very big middle finger up to COVID, doesn't it? Start licking your hand-touched
really
computer as a sort of little palate cleanser. Yvonne's got some blueberry pancakes as well. And that looks like a complete coincidence, Yvonne, because you didn't know about the blue and yellow theme. Unless you're just very proud of being from Leicester, perhaps. Chances are Yvonne's not from Leicester.
Grace,
yes.
can I ask a question about your pancakes?
I'm going to have
blue
cheese.
When do you put the blueberries in?
Well, I'm glad you asked because I've never done this before. Mm. So I poured them on the pan, and then just when they were rising and the bubbles were coming up and I was about to turn them, I chucked some blueberries in while they were kind of half done, then flipped them, and it's kind of worked out. I'm just going to pick one up.
Yeah, try one,
nice,
try one.
They
look great.
They look great.
Amazing.
Yeah. I hope it tastes better than the keyboard of my Mac covered in maple syrup.
Sorry, Grace. Oh, they look good.
You wouldn't believe how much stuff I've spilled on this machine since lockdown began. I really realised what an actual animal I am.
can I just say, Jess, as well, that I understand that we're supposed to now eat. It's the number one thing you're not supposed to do on any recording. So if I eat really daintily and that you don't hear anything, it's because I'm scared and I'm nervous and I can see everybody watching me. I'm just so not used to being able to eat anything.
And eat into a microphone. It is a weird request, really. But I'm into it. And so far, so few complaints, actually, about the not. It's surprising. I think because people are conscious of it, it's not that bad. That's fascinating to me, that when to drop the blueberries into a pancake. I fear I've maybe ruined every attempt, not that there have been that many, at blueberry pancakes from putting them in too early. It's a bit like when to put the cherry tomatoes into the omelette. Do you do it before the egg business goes in? Probably not.
I used to.
Did you? But then they'll just burst and explode and go volcanic.
Yeah,
I've got
them in half.
I don't know. I don't like omelettes, so I couldn't help you on that one.
Oh, who's the moron now?
With all that amazing cheese you've got, Mark, you don't like omelettes. Do you have any idea what kind of omelettes you can have with that kind of cheese?
A few years ago, my sister referred to an omelette as an egg pie. And I've never been able to sort of get over it. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm kind of, I'm not a big omelette eater either. I just think egg pie now when I see one, you know, and they're just not a good couple of words to go together. Do you know what I mean?
You could ruin so many egg things by just breaking them down into descriptions, couldn't you? Like sort of liquid sweet egg sauce for custard. Yeah, no thanks, but custard.
Don't take custard away from me, Jess.
Sorry.
One of the only things I've got left in this pandemic.
Sarah said she's got a vanilla cupcake with a blue paper paste. Does that count? It fucking does, Sarah. Well done. Well done by accidentally joining in with all of this. Do they taste as good as they look, those pancakes, Grace?
Yeah, they do. And I was, before maple syrup gate, I was going to say that I offered my girlfriend some. And I made enough for her, but I gave her all of the ugly ones that look like shit, and I gave me all of the really photogenic ones. So I'm glad that you all said they look nice, because I threw her under the bus in order to make that happen.
You do end up doing the opposite of what you do in normal life, where you like give the other person the snazziest looking one.
Absolutely.
Or like the perfect yolked fried egg or whatever. No, not when you get to show it off on a podcast.
I'm in my tongue.
How have your baked items turned out, Mark? Are they tasty? Have you tried one?
Yeah, I have tried one. They're really good. Yeah, I mean...
Is it very sweet? Is it treacly?
No. So you make... it's basically a sponge, but made with almond flour. You add amaretto and chocolate.
Oh.
And so you get this... And they're really light. You think they're going to be stodgy and heavy, but they're not. They're like really light and fluffy.
Yeah.
And you get this beautiful chocolate and then the almondy flavour. They're amazing. And the chocolate, the ganache is made with water, so it's a water ganache as opposed to a cream ganache. So it's like really intense chocolatey as opposed to creamy chocolatey. So no, they're cool. They're really good.
Oh, fit.
Mark,
can I just stay with you for a bit?
Yeah, yeah.
Is there a chance I just come round and just hang out with you for a bit?
Yeah, no, please do. I'd love to.
Darren, so have you spent all these lockdowns on your Todd?
Yeah. And so I used to live in a house share, and then I moved in December 2019.
Right.
And then obviously March 2020, it all kicked off. But I'll tell you, it's been great if you like me.
I hope you do like you because you're lovely.
It's worked out pretty well for me. Yeah, no, I feel quite lucky, actually.
But you said you've got like single man's food in, but are you into cooking? Has lockdown affected how, is it sort of, tell me about eating during lockdown for you.
So I don't mind cooking. So I've started cooking. So my family are all from Jamaica. So I started cooking a lot of Jamaican food.
Oh, nice.
But, in terms of dessert, so I'm a big Bake Off fan, obviously. But in terms of dessert, I can't do it. I'm terrible at all of it. I can't even make cookies. They're just bad.
I think cookies might be the hardest thing.
Thank you for saying that. Oh, I wish my friends were here now to hear. Oh, I'm going to send that to them. Thank you for that. I've always said this. Cookies are hard.
Mark, is this valid? I think they're fucking hard. I can make a cake like that. I say that. I fuck them up. I have fucked a cake up. But I wouldn't be guaranteed to fuck a cake up. Whereas I think maybe once or twice in my life, and I know it was an accident if I got biscuits right or cookies. Yeah. They go
flat.
And
biscuits is you have to take them out sooner than you'd think. So once they start going really brown, you've kind of overdone them.
Right.
You've got, like, wow.
You've got like a chewy cookie, that chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah.
You almost take them out way before you think they're ready.
Why do mine? I feel like mine always spread out. Like they become a big liquidy, greasy sea.
I think that is the nature of a chocolate cookie. They do kind of spread out as you bake them.
So do you think just smaller dollops? Is it about smaller dollops?
Yeah, if you want a smaller cookie, do a smaller dollop.
Right. Oh, well, there we go. Nice to get schooled. It is nice, Mark, to get...
can I ask you a question about cookies? So
Mark, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go for it.
I know, it's like having a doctor.
Mark, I've got a scabby knee.
My problem with cookies is that in my head, I always think the edges are supposed to be hard, because that's like, you know, when you bite it in, that feels like a cookie. But the problem is that I feel like I leave them in too long and they start to get kind of burnt, but the middle is a little bit, it's not as cooked as it should be.
Okay. Why would that be? I mean, over temperature may be too high. So your temperature is too high, so it's burning the edges before it cooks the middle. So maybe a lower temperature of the oven, maybe.
I am terrible. I'm one of those people who's just like, turns it on the same temperature every time. Yeah. I should really listen to instructions once every now and again.
I think it's about 160 for cookies. I normally cook bake mine.
Oh, that is lower than I thought.
Man, I do at least 190. All right, 160. I'm going to try that. Thank you for that.
I love it. I think both Darren and I have got a bit of toxic masculinity, because I saw a tweet the other day and I think you'd like it, Darren. It says something like, to all the people out there who just whack the oven straight up to 220 every time, no fucking about. A lot of them, and I was like, yes! I don't always do it, but I always feel like doing it. See you in a minute. Just do it quicker. Cooking in lockdown. Grace, did I see the other day on Twitter that you had some sweet cooking hack or some revelation about something to put in a sauce?
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm so glad you brought this up. because I got a lot of shit for this on Twitter, which I think is quite undeserved. But who could imagine something being divisive on the website twitter.com? I don't think it was. I was speaking the other day and... I was doing a chorizo pasta sauce, like tomato-based pasta sauce. I did my staple, any tomato-based sauce, always spoonful of Marmite, right? Spoonful of Marmite straight in, thickens it up, brings this amazing depth. And I just put, and I thought everybody does this. So I was like, just in case anybody doesn't know, just going to put it on Twitter. And the shaming that resulted in that.
Really? Were you cancelled?
It's closest I've ever cut. Well, it's not. No, nowhere near the closest.
as a fellow guilty feminist alumni, we all sail close to the regularly.
I don't think it's going to be the Marmite that gets me in the end.
I've never given it a go, Marmite and a red sauce. Mark, you nodded approvingly. Is that something
I do. I always put a bit of Marmite in my sauce, yeah.
Do you?
Really?
Well, there you go. Look.
I know, a good dollop of brown sugar as well, sweeten it up.
Sure, yeah. Is that like the chocolate in chili thing?
I think it works. You know, you've got this thing, a bit of sugar in your tomato sauce just makes it. Mm. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Lovely. I'd heard of like Worcestershire sauce or whatever. There's a vegan equivalent, that Henderson's, isn't it? That everyone's
Hendo's relish. Yeah, that's the shepherd one, isn't it?
And I mean, do you know what? Anyone that argues with it, it'd be like, well, Bloody Mary.
Yeah,
that's always got a splash of something really inky and I'm going to say it, umami-y in it, isn't it?
Yeah.
I do sort of upset myself when it takes me less than half an hour to say umami in one of these podcasts, but I've done it now.
Somebody had to say that in the chat about a minute ago. Okay.
Umami baby. Yeah, well, they said it like Austin Powers, so they said it in a less pretentious way. Everybody's into Hendo's. Look, there we go. And somebody made a good point about maybe brown sugar in cookies helps them be less splatty into one big liquid. Oh, I don't know. I think I'd be doing my dollops too big. Delicious.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation.
Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I want all of you to tell me about eating growing up for you. Perhaps if we start with Mark.
Yeah, it was never a big deal for me.
Yeah.
I mean, my mum was a great cook. She used to cook the most amazing, just, you know, homely lasagnas and vegetable chilies and stuff like that. Because I was predominantly vegetarian from, you know, most of my teenage life, because my mum was, she cooked these amazing vegetarian meals.
That's cool. Did you ever feel like rebelling if you were brought up by in a sort of vegetarian household? There's a lot of like, oh, I don't know. I feel I've got a 5-year-old and we don't really eat meat in this house, but he does when he's at his dad's. And a bit of me goes, yeah. Kind of good in the sense that I don't want him to be that kid that sort of standing outside McDonald's like a dog at a butcher's because he's never had one. But I wonder, did you have anything, especially as a teenager, did you have any like, I wouldn't mind trying a sausage? Feelings.
No, I mean, I did eat meat, but it was, yeah. I think it was that kind of, you know, like an early late 80s when it was kind of getting quite trendy to, and I was very much a climber then anyway, so I was into eating quite healthy and keeping quite lean. So, but in terms of like baking and really taking the, you know, food becoming the passion, that's a fairly recent thing for me, you know. So
yeah. Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Wicked. Grace, what about you? I don't know if we covered it so much when we did our hoovering, and that also was ages ago.
Yeah, but it does relate to the past, so it's not changed. No, I was, I've got two brothers and a sister, and I'm the youngest of four. And my mum and dad are both really good cooks, but when I was a kid, I was really, really, really fussy eater. I think we did talk about this a little bit.
Oh yeah, we did. I'd forgotten that.
Mm, and my eldest brother was also really fussy, but in a completely different way. So like my parents, God bless them, like now I just can't, like now I look back as an adult, I can't believe they did it. They like frequently would be making like three dinners, like one for me, one for my brother and one. Yeah, to the point that in my house growing up, if there was one dish that they discovered that all four of us would eat, my mum took to calling it a hallelujah. I think it was like carbonara or something. The first time she did a carbonara, she was like, I think this is a hallelujah. That's what we used to call it.
Oh,
I know. So yeah, but I mean, cooking was like really, because you're quite a big family and like big extended family as well, like big kind of Irish Catholic brood. So it was quite a, I really associate it with big, you know, digging in together. Like there was like a couple of meals that we would always do, like Saturday brunch, my dad would always do. And now I can't, to this day, I can't smell like cooking bacon without thinking of my dad. So I used to wake up to that smell on a Saturday morning all the way through my childhood. And then obviously like Sunday roasts as well. And we'd all, whatever was going on, you know, four kids, like my sister would be Irish dancing or my brother would have football training. But those were the meals that we would always all be there for.
And did I love it. It sounds, it sounds delicious and homely, and like this, I feel calm just at the thought of the regularity, like the, I like the predictability of it. Like, I feel like, my dad sometimes did fry ups at the weekend, but they'd always be like,
And I think actually I've probably inherited this, but there was definitely an element of going like, oh, they've just brought out their mushrooms that are like that rather than like that, so we'll try them. Like there was always some random thing being tried in there, or like a really herby new type of sausage, or I don't know. Anyway, I just, yeah, I'm happy for you about those weekend fry-ups. I also had them.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I honestly, growing up, I don't remember eating anything healthy, like at all.
It Do you have siblings?
Yeah, older brother. But I remember like bacon eggs every morning. Like, cause so growing up, my school, my primary school and like high school was behind my nan's house. It was so lucky. So I stayed at my nan's for like 10 years. And, you know, if school started at 9 a.m., I would leave at 8:58 and get to, you know, it was that kind of thing. So, oh man, I remember just eating loads of junk. I was overweight until I was at least 14, like proper, like obese. Like my mom was worried at one point. I just used to eat everything, anything. Even now, like I've got way more restrictions on what I eat now than I did like 15 years ago. It was just, sometimes I look back at it and I think, oh man, the freedom to just not worry about anything. Like I didn't know, you know, I didn't know what a vegetarian was when I was a kid, or vegan or anything like that. I didn't know anyone. I've only ever met those sort of people until I was about like 20. I think, honestly, I had no idea what a vegan was until maybe 2010.
I don't. No idea. Yeah, I think, to be honest, I do think that veganism's hit the mainstream in a like stratospheric way. It's had an amazing career in the last 3 or 4 years, hasn't it? Veganism.
Vegans' PR is amazing right now. They're really out there.
Well, and also I think just in terms of the urgency of the state of the planet, ultimately has made people like go like put some fire in its belly, isn't it? First up off the bat, it tickles me very much that you like. It sounds so amazing to live on the doorstep of your school, but how funny that now you've chosen a job that in normal times means more travelling than probably any other job. Properly making up the air miles now. I think it's so interesting, isn't it, on that way of, I sort of have the converse of yours situation, in the sense that I was one of those kids who used to think all the time, like, oh, when I'm an adult, I can have whatever I want. When I'm an adult, if I wanted some, like, 5 bars of something, I could have that. And now that I'm an adult, I do. but not in, like, that way of, like, I do, but in that way, like, I do have that consciousness of going, I could if I want. Isn't that amazing that you essentially, you have to idolise the agency to eat as you choose to eat as a kid. And that's a bit bonkers, isn't it? That you have sort of to wait to adulthood to actually be able for it to be up to you, to be self-determined in terms of something that's actually probably so important to how you feel and how happy
you
are.
You know what I was thinking about the other day? Like how I would eat kid cereal like every morning before school up until I was about 18. And now I wouldn't even go near like Sugar Puffs or, you know, Cocoa Pops or anything like that. Now I wouldn't have it.
Well, because it's too sugary.
Too sugary. I look at it and I go, this is a horrible way to start my day because it's just full of sugar. But I used to have Frosted Flakes with extra white sugar on with full fat milk as a kid. But now I look back at it and I go, how was I doing that for so long?
Well, because it was fucking delicious, mate.
Because it's amazing.
Yeah.
So good. I have porridge.
I still do have Frosted with extra sugar on, I have to admit.
Yeah, I was going to say. And if you're going to have porridge, you've got to tell me you're having something sweet on that. Otherwise, we're supposed to be vaguely comedic, this podcast, and it's just got very turned into a kitchen sink drama. If it's, you've gone from having this beautiful childhood full of sugar to now porridge.
I mean, I have stevia on it.
Oh, Darren, I knew you'd turn out to be I already knew you were a fitness person.
you know what the best part was about me saying stevia? I could see some of the audience and they looked at me disgusted. I could see everyone go, oh, God, this, get him off.
Darren, stevia, is that supposed to be the sweetest natural substance on the planet? Is that right?
Something like that. It's a sugar substitute, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I'd rather have some white sugar, to be honest. Like, you need at least 5 spoons of stevia will make 1 teaspoon of white sugar. Like, it's quite a lot.
I think there's a lot of theories that it does the same thing to your brain and body. It makes it go, oh, oh, I've had a sweet thing. And like goes into that kind of motor, like, and then crash. But you haven't had the sugar. So it's confusing. It's confusing all your receptors. But what do I fucking know? I'm a comedian. Let's move on. have any of you ever had a food or a food thing that you have been scared of? I asked this because I once worked with a woman whose sister had a genuine phobia of oranges.
Wow.
And I...
Oh!
Even if you just know someone, I find these stories fascinating.
I saw one before about someone who was scared of bananas. Just like a crazy irrational fear of bananas. So they wouldn't go near bananas. They like, as in, you know how some people are scared of like clowns? And they're terrified. Mm. It was the same with bananas, but... For myself, no, I've don't know, no food at all. I have any irrational fears of. I don't have any bad memories of any foods either. Really.
What? That's like, good.
Not, yeah, it's like
you haven't done that thing where you overdid something so much you can't have it anymore. Lots of people can't drink tequila or cider.
Okay, now you said that. Here we go. Sambuca, I can't do.
Okay,
I had too much of that. I also weirdly, I can't eat. I can't have tea. I don't drink tea, never drink tea, or I can't have tea and donuts because I was sick once because I don't know why, but I remember I had some tea and donuts as a kid and I was sick all over my nan's floor. And I out of the two, I chose donuts. So yeah, I don't, okay. I don't have tea anymore, but I don't really like tea. I prefer coffee.
I love coffee.
But I've just coffee had in the sad way, just black every time.
That's not sad.
Sad way.
I feel like it's sad because, listen, Jess.
Well, because you'd like to have it with milk and sugar.
Milk, sugar, maybe put the marshmallows in and do all that stuff.
Darren, I want you to have a happier life. It's making me so sad. Darren, come and live with us for a bit. Come live here. I make you a nice coffee that you like.
It's so
you can be happy now, Darren.
I will look at people who are like, you know, vegans or vegetarians, and I'll be like, oh man, all those restrictions on what they eat. But I've got just as many.
Yeah, but they're all just of your own making. They're not ethical at all. Grace, were you about to have a thing about the phobia? Did you?
Oh, I do have a weird phobia. Actually, it's my phobia is like more. It's a more general thing, which is like. There is actually a word for it, but it's very like porous surfaces or like but so basically, you know those melons that look like brains? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that? I fucking hate them. I fucking hate them. I can't have them in the house. I'm quite phobic of them. And anything that looks like that, there's actually a word for this being like freaked out by this type of thing.
Is it veiny things?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I knew it. Someone has always got an interesting thing that they're like about. It's not a food thing, but I'm like that about slugs. Slugs and cells. I mean, I think that's quite normal, but like the idea.
Oh, yeah.
I've got friends who, you know, with kids the same age as me, who are quite happy to like, and I think it's so lovely. You know, they'd be out in the garden, like holding up worms and stroking snails. Oh, fuck off. I'm not going to pick up your fucking snail. You get and do it on your own, babe.
Yeah.
Great.
You'll like this, Jess. You'll hate this, Jess.
Right.
But I was, so my girlfriend and I met like during the last lockdown and we sort of like met over the phone. We had all these like long phone calls before, like ages before we could meet. Oh, yeah, it was cool.
Very nice.
It was really, really kind of nice, like a nice way to get to know someone. But she was one night, it was like one of our early days on the phone. And she said, oh, the moon is amazing. The moon's really full tonight. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go out into the garden and look at it. And I had this like romantic vision that we'd both be looking at the moon at the same time. And I stepped in my bare feet on a fucking slug. That's amore.
That's game over.
That's what you get for trying to force a moment. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, at least now you'll never ever forget that lovely romantic moment where you were going to go out and look at the same moon.
Grace,
Grace,
just to check, you say you don't like things that kind of look like brains, is it? Is that what you said?
That's right, yeah.
How are you with meat? Yeah. Like mince types? You know, like raw mince? Like, to
yeah,
me,
I don't love it. I don't love it when it's all packed in.
Yeah.
Grace, how are you with walnuts? Because I think they look like tiny little dusty brain.
Yeah, walnuts aren't a massive problem. But, you know, it's also things like, have you ever seen the picture of like the cross section of a shell when a shell's been cut in half? Do you know what I mean by that? And it's anything with like loads and loads and loads of little sections.
Ribs.
Yeah,
like an inside an ear,
Exactly that, yeah. Things like that, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it manifests in those melons, yeah.
Sorry, everybody, that's so funny.
For Christ's sake.
I actually tasted brain once. It was absolutely disgusting.
What brain? What's brain was it, Mark?
I don't know. It was either a pig or a cat. I worked in the butchers. I was apprentice in the butchers when I was 16, just for a short period of time. It was a horrible job. And he got me to try this brain. It was disgusting. I don't know how anyone could eat it.
It's so fascinating. Hang on, were you almost completely vegetarian at 16 and working in a butcher's?
Well, not completely, but yeah, it was just one of those jobs. I needed a job and I saw and then I didn't last very long. I didn't enjoy it.
Oh, crikey.
Say scrumdiddlyumptious.
No!
And then you can be in my podcast.
I'll tell you how I know I've never been to like a proper swanky restaurant. I've never been to the sort of restaurant where they have one of those like giant fish tanks.
Yeah.
And you pick what you want. Like you want, is it a bit of an octopus there? You want a bit of crab? I've never done that before. That to me is a bit too inhumane for me personally.
I sushi from Tesco. Does that count as swanky food?
No, I think that counts as generally a fucking abomination.
only Mark.
And I'm sorry, Mark. I'm sorry.
Part
that
of a meal deal.
You had to have that. Mark.
Swanky,
yeah, the meal deal. That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
You get orange juice and some shortbread with it. Fine.
Yeah.
I do believe slightly in, like, you know, you hear those like old nana's tales about things. And I remember as a kid being told, oh, if you eat fish, it will make you really clever and it's good for your brain. Lots of chat. And it probably has to do with omega oils or whatever. But there was lots of chat amongst my nanas about how fish is good for your brain. And I think that in my head, if something's raw, then it must be the maximum. I don't know. It's bullshit, isn't it? I'm sure it's bullshit. But I genuinely think there have been times in my life where I've not had sushi for a while just because I've not had access to it. Had it and it's made me cleverer like that. Bang. It's made me cleverer. Just for a short while. Like a sort of superpower for a couple of hours.
There's a sushi restaurant in Leicester that which is called Little Tokyo, and I really, if there are people watching from Leicester, they're on delivery now and they're doing takeaway, and I'm desperate for them not to go under because I absolutely love eating there. But I recently I called them to place an order for takeaway sushi, and this is how frequently I order them, is they'd saved my number and he picked up the phone and went, hello, Grace. Let's start cooking a bit more, I don't know.
There's no shame in that, especially at the moment, like you're saying, like I genuinely get waves of like, oh, I haven't got a takeaway from there for a while now and I don't want them to go bust. Like, it does feel a bit like that at the moment, doesn't it? You'd be on a walk and you'd be like, oh, fuck, they do that amazing thing. Like, let's see if they're doing delivery. I'm having more takeaways now than I would in normal life, and I'd feel fuck all guilt. Like, it does feel the only way to keep these places alive.
If these guys go under, I've done my bit. Trust me, I've really done my bit.
Yes, Darren.
Can I ask a question for the panel? Speaking of takeaway, can I ask what your go-to takeaway is? Say it's a Friday night, you're hungry, you're in the mood. What is your go? So for me, it would be Japanese sushi. That would be me, a big sushi.
Do you get anything hot though if you're getting a Japanese takeaway? Miso soup or anything?
No, nothing's hot. Everything is.
Really?
I literally go all from dragon rolls, sashimi. It's so expensive, but you know, it's worth it because it's healing, isn't it? It's healing. That's what it is.
It's making us cleverer. It's definitely, it's making us better at quizzes and that.
My rule as well when I buy sushi is it all has to be eaten on the same day.
Okay.
That's the rule. I do not do, it's not like pizza. I don't do tomorrow's sushi. I'm not using chopsticks in the morning. That's not what I do. It's all got to be gone that same night. That's my
rule. I love how much you love a rule, Darren. Well, I'll leave it. Mark, what's your answer to Darren's, my co-host's question?
I'm pretty old school. I'll just go for it. I go for a curry every time, I think.
Mm. What are you ordering? Do you get the same thing every time, though, Mark?
Yeah, well, trouble is, I used to live in... after Leicester, I moved them to Sheffield. They had amazing curry houses up there.
Oh, yeah.
But actually, Cornwall's a bit disappointing. So I've not had a good curry for a long time, you know. We've not got a good one down here. So, yeah, I do. But if we go to... in fact, last time I went to Leicester, I think on the London Road, there's a really good curry place on there that my sister takes me to.
I know the name.
Sorry? Is it called K?
Someone just mentioned Kael. I've been
there. Kael is amazing.
Possibly. But that was incredible. I really enjoyed that. So, yeah, if I go to Leicester, I do enjoy a good curry when I go up there.
Fair play. Oh, yeah, I grew up in Dorset and we had somewhere you could get a curry takeaway, not takeaway, but a curry from and to go and sit in. But it wasn't great. Everyone there was so excited to have anywhere to go and have a curry that we were like, we just didn't care that it was really expensive and disgusting. But now there's a really snazzy place to take away curry there. And I'm so happy for my friends that are back there. Grace, what would be your go-to thing? Have you got a go-to thing?
Yeah, well, it'll either be Little Tokyo or we've got an amazing Thai near us as well. Thai place called Thai Isan, again, for all the Leicester gang who are watching. And they're just absolutely amazing. We had one on Friday night, actually. Yeah.
Oh. That sort of question it stresses me out, not in a bad way, Darren, but I can't pick a thing. I love, there's so many things. And also I'm so lucky where I live that there's an incredible Lebanese place, there's Indian, Thai, Japanese, Vietnamese, there's a Peruvian place now in Lewisham. It's mental and amazing, but also I just don't know how to pick. So generally it comes down to a toss of a coin. We got fish and chips for the first time in months and months and months, like since the summer when I was near the sea, basically, the other day, and that was extraordinary.
That's the one thing we do have down here is really good fish and chips.
Yeah, bet you do. Proper
fact,
chippy chips.
I'm not far from Rick Stein's chippy, and although they're expensive, times a year we're going on fish and chips from Rick Stein's chippy, and they are worth it.
Oh,
they're good.
Glorious.
Where in Cornwall are you, Mark?
Near Padstow. I mean, Rick Stein.
Did you get a lot of crab down there? Gorgeous fresh crab around that way.
Possibly. I don't like crab, right. So I don't really. But yeah, I think so. I imagine there is lots of good crab down here.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like a crab sandwich is like I'm having a massive long walk in a beach place in England. That's what that says in my mind. It's basically like a holiday food.
Just one of those amazing beach places.
Yeah. Hopefully not too long now, guys. I see that some of the people in the audience have given themselves like exciting backgrounds and stuff, and you're like, yeah, it's nice. I want a holiday. let's ask you some maybe slightly shorter things. Ever accidentally eaten anything that wasn't food? Darren.
That's a good question. I think. I swallowed a button once.
There we go.
I thought it was a chocolate button.
No!
It was definitely because I knew it was a button because my mom was. It's weird because there was chocolate buttons and my mom was sewing, so there was a button. And obviously, as a kid, I mean, I just used to eat everything. There was no thought at all, and now it's very obvious the difference between a button and a chocolate button. And I swallowed it, and my mom saw me with it and saw me swallow it. And then as soon as I put it in my mouth, I said, what are you doing? And I swallowed it. And I remember that. Because that's one of the examples my mom uses whenever she talks to people about how much I ate.
I don't like the idea that your mum's like bumping into an old friend and be like, do you remember how much he ate?
Oh, yeah.
I'd be like, oh, God, I've got enough issues, thanks, mum.
Major shade at me at all times. Damn, but she makes it sound as if I went into her drawer and took out a button and ate it. She never explains the story.
Yeah, give us some context, mum.
Yeah.
it did look like a food. Yeah. It's... I want to ask a disgusting thing, but do you remember pooing it out?
Very good point. I don't remember that.
I mean, that's good. And if it did happen, then you did remember at the time, you've blocked it out, and that's probably for the best.
I've never been the sort of person who coos and has a look. So I couldn't tell you.
Fair enough. It's true. It's a great point. Well made. Yeah. There are people who do that and people who don't. And I think you're in a very happy category there, Darren. Grace, what about you, my love?
Similar on the haberdashery side.
Oh yes.
A
full pin cushion.
When I was about 3 years old, I got a stuffed giraffe, a cuddly toy, and he had suede ears, and I used to like chew them like as a kind of, this is absolutely disgusting, as like a kind of like a security blanket thing, I suppose. Yeah. I mean, I was like a tiny toddler, and yeah, just eventually as time went on, just ate them right the way off. Yeah. So, pair of suede ears. Yeah.
Kids are so funny with stuff like that, like some sort of comforting texture. My son's 5 now. And at the moment he's going through a phase of licking me. Just lick, and his dad.
Well, he chose a great time to do it. Yeah, did.
But he won't do it for about 3 or 4 days.
It's hands, space, lick your mum's face.
Hands, space, lick your mum's face, yeah. Well, have I not told you? He thinks he can see the virus, so he's safe. Yeah, he's that arrogant. He's so arrogant. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he behaves as if he's had an Eton education and he hasn't. He thinks he's invincible. Weird licking boy. Anyway, Mark.
I can't remember eating anything that I shouldn't have done. I mean, that normally goes to what my dog, that's what he normally does. Fair he has play. His propensity of eating like cat crap. And which is absolutely disgusting. I remember there was one time I was sitting in the living room, he'd obviously been outside and ate some cat crap, and then decided to vomit it up onto the carpet. And I can assure you, it was the most wretched thing I've ever cleared up in my life.
Fucking hell. Fucking dogs. Frank got a lot of love when he was briefly made a cameo earlier, Grace. There was some calls to have him back. Yeah. Maybe it's made anyone who was sad that Frank went away again. He could be busy now hoovering some cat shit.
Absolutely, yeah.
Apparently,
I don't even have a cat, but I wouldn't put it past him, yeah.
Apparently dogs are like one or the other. They either roll in or eat shit.
Great. He's a bit of a roller. He loves to roll in dead things. Okay. The worst thing he's ever rolled in was a dead hedgehog. Was a trip to the vet. Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic scenes for Frank, yeah.
Smiling gets cursed by a wicked warlock. So every time anyone has a go at any sort of smiling, their knees buckle and they shit themselves. It's an absolute misery, not to mention very much the death of comedy. Luckily, the warlock has agreed to shut up and stop this dark, evil curse, but only if you three, and weirdly it does have to be you three, do a 24-hour karaoke-thon whilst never getting off one of those tiny little trampoline things that women had in the 90s to do weight loss videos. I think they were called trampettes. It sounds impossible, but you do it! Yay. 3 of you are heroes!
Oh, wow.
Your award is a place in history as the new 3 amigos who saved us all from a future of smilelessness or shitty pants. Your award in the moment, though, and bearing in mind this was knacker in that karaoke on the trampolines, you're as hungry and as happy as it's possible to be. It's the opposite of a last meal. You couldn't be more chuffed. You're starving. And also, this is a fantasy feast. Your award is a feast of your dreams. I don't want anything. I don't want you to consider consequences, health, none of that shit. This is about if dreams could come true. This is a fantasy feast. What would be your dream thing in the happiest, hungriest possible state to eat and drink? And I'm aware that this is only your answer now. And if I asked you in 5 minutes, it could have completely changed. Grace, we'll start with you.
Well, the thing that sprang to mind when you were saying that was So my girlfriend is from Norwich, and she took me to this amazing pub in Norfolk in the summer called the Gunton Arms, and they did this whole lobster with garlic butter and these just incredible best chips I've ever had in my life. And honestly, like, having eaten a lot of things in a lot of places in the world, I think it's maybe the best thing I've ever had. So I'd probably go whole lobster, garlic butter, and it was just like a big like bowl of garlic butter, just a thing, crack it open and just dipping it in the whole, it was absolutely amazing. So I'd go for that, and also I would accompany it with my favourite beer in the world, which actually is from right here in Leicester. I just ordered a case of it. It's the Everard's original Sun Chaser beer, which I really would recommend to everybody. It's
gorgeous. Is it lager?
No, it's like a really light session ale. It's like 4% or less, but it's just really, it goes down so easily.
I'm getting that on the list. Yeah. What a lovely answer. When else are you going to have a whole fucking lobster if it's not your fantasy feast time? Got to do it. Mark?
I think, in fact, someone I'd go for, and this isn't posh at all, I'd go for a chip butty every time.
Talk me through it. What sort of bread? What sort of spread?
Oh, it's got to be thick white bread, right? Lashings of butter, big thick chunky homemade chips with daddy sauce on top.
Daddy sauce, proper butter, or because things I think are better.
Proper butter. It's got to be proper butter every time.
And chippy
shop. I think that's that'd be if that was going to be my last meal. That is what it would be. Be a chip butty.
Yeah, it's a fierce choice. I'm really impressed. Delicious. Yummy. Darren?
All I can think about now is chunky chips.
Yeah. Some chunky chips. You can just say, can I have what Mark's just said? Yeah. And it would be totally legit.
So the way that everyone's explaining this, it all now sounds like a death row meal. Like, what is your ideal death row meal? And I tell you, I'm going to go as simple as to when I was like a kid back in school. I would go with McDonald's Big Mac meal.
Oh, yes, do it. Not a drop of stevia in sight. That's what we want.
Not a drop. Giant fries.
No porridge. Get some joy in your life and your mouth. Yes.
Giant fries, strawberry shake.
Yes.
Apple pie and a Twix McFlurry. And I'm telling you, it's king.
Twix McFlurry at the end. That did something to my downstairs. Oh. Vision. What an excellent choice, Darren. I'm so happy for you. I reckon all of us should go and have that thing this week anyway, just because life is tricky. Before we all go away, other than where, tell the audience, please, and including everyone who listens to this in its audio. My light's fallen over. I got too passionate about that McFlurry. while I go and pick that up, can you, one after the other, tell the audience, including the listeners when it's a finished podcast, where they can find you and what, if anything, you're up to at the moment, including once lockdown eases, fingers crossed, if you've got anything coming up, or anywhere they can follow your work. Darren, then Grace, then Mark.
You can find me on at Darren Harriott, HARRIOTT on Twitter, Instagram. I post lots of videos, funny videos, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, just follow me on there at Darren Harriott. Thank you.
Magic.
I'm just Grace Petrie on Twitter, Grace Petrie Music on Instagram, and hopefully at some point in the future I will one day again be a touring musician and you'll be able to go to a gig at some point. But I'll probably have an album coming out this year, so please keep an eye out.
Yes.
Nice.
Mark.
Me, I can be found on Instagram at Marco Bakes with _ between the Mark and the O and the Bakes.
It makes you hungry following Mark on Instagram, but it's and that's a good thing. Yeah. Thank you all, my lovely guests. You are fucking fascinating and funny and wonderful and lovely. Thank you. And thank you everyone who came along and watched. What a smashing afternoon. Thank you for your time. You. Take care, and you'll hear us again soon. Bye.
Later, guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
What an absolute belter, hey? What a dear and lovely bunch of guests. I love them all a lot, you know. They told you where to find themselves online, and I implore you, please do go and look them up. They're all so good at what they do, so they do really good things. Want to try our box? You can have a tenner off your first box using a link in either in the podcast notes or in the bio on Twitter. Make sure you're following at the Hoovering Pod. It makes it only, I think, $2.99 for an odd box, so go for it, I reckon. I think they're amazing. They're only for people in and around London at the moment, though, annoyingly. Feel free to support the podcast by telling other people about it. You can do it a 5-star review. Recommend it maybe on a social media platform, or you can give us money if you want over at Acast Supporter for one-off tenner or fiver, or go to Patreon if you want to give me a few quid a month in exchange for podcast related goodies. Follow me on social media if you like, at Jessica Foster Q. Anything longer than a tweet to send me, you can email me through my website, jessicafosterq.com. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham, and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy hoovering.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.